Bobby Addy.
Hey, Bobby.
I'd like to thank God for another 12-7 meeting, for his love and his joy, but for only grace of God, I'm sober today. You know, Mike, me and Mike go way back, back in L.A. I met Mike in L.A. back a few summers ago. I know my first meeting I went to, that's where I met him at. And ever since I've been knowing Mike and been connected with Mike, Mike always been a person that really wanted to help somebody get on this path to a power of God. And that's our purpose, is to get on a path to a power of God when the thought comes that God can step in and say that, look at your experience. And this is what this guy has given me. You know, I left L.A. to move down here in 2009, and Mike was in Vegas at the time, and my wife went back to L.A. to a convention, and she called me. She said, Mike D's in Austin. I said, what? I thought he was in Vegas. So he was in Vegas. He was in Austin, and we ended up reconnecting at the One On Club. And we spearheaded a meeting on Sunday at 12 noon called Truth Lighting Away. And ever since then, I've been going to that meeting and carry that meeting on. But Mike is a guy, man, that will reach out and help somebody, man. And that's what I like about him. You know, me and Mike, we hung out today, all day today. We went to go see 42, the Jackie Robinson story. And we seen a lot of four-step work in this movie. it was real amazing. So he asked me, was I coming tonight? I really didn't know I was coming. But me and a couple more guys, we rode out here, and I came to the door. Mike said, would you introduce me? I said, it's an honor and a privilege to do some man that about getting to a power and helping somebody. So, further ado, Mike D.
I am an addict, and my name is Mike D.
Hey, Mike.
And I'd like to first thank my God, a true and living God, for the opportunity of life today. I'd like to thank Marsha, my friend, and Benchmark Recovery, and all the many friends I have in Austin, Texas, for opening your arms to me. It's a privilege and an honor to be here. I, for some reason, I didn't expect these many people. And don't get it twisted, I've spoke in different places around the world in front of large numbers of people, but it's different being here. I'd like to embrace and acknowledge the spirit of Mark Houston, who will forever be alive in these walls. And if you did not know him, you missed meeting a treat. So I'm just glad to be here. I'm glad to be back home. This is like a home to me. I'm a guy that grew up in a little country called Harlem, New York. And one of the things they told me in Harlem, New York was, do not go to Texas. I grew up in the 60s, and I grew up around black Muslims, and I grew up around Black Panthers, and I grew up at that time in a very racist, segregated mentality. And I was never coming to Texas. And that just goes to show you how little you know about your destiny and what's in the plan for your life. Came to Texas and had a completely different experience. And I'm so grateful. I don't know what I'm going to talk about. I never do. I pray. Anytime I speak, I pray. And I sit with God and I ask God just to use me. that I might be allowed to touch somebody, because somebody's in a very desperate place in their life right now. You're sitting here with us, and on the outside you have a smile, and you're dressed very, very nice, and you're very cordial to people, and you have nice things to say, and we would never know that on the inside you're twisted. You can't tell nobody that, because if you do, they might not like you, and they might not love you, and they might not accept you, and they might not think you're all that. So you sit in your misery, in your despair, in your desperation to breathe. Couple things. I never know what I'm going to say, but things come to my consciousness. One thing that came very clear today watching that movie 42 was the triumph of spirit against all odds, being able to stand and be who you are, no matter what they say about you, no matter how they treat you, no matter whether they like you, no matter what color you are, no matter what part of the country you're from. Don't mean nothing if you're fat, don't nothing. In the midst of it, you stand and be who you are. The triumph of the inner spirit. That's the message I got from that today, Bobby. I want to thank you, Bobby, because you've been a friend, man. I don't know who you are. It's only a couple people in here I really know. I don't know who you are. But if you're anything like me, you ain't had no friends. You didn't have nobody that wanted to introduce your ass. Because you knew if they introduced you, they was going to say some stuff about you that you didn't want the world to know, man. And it's amazing what's happened to my life, man. Something's happened. Something's happened that on a given day, I cannot explain it. How did I get from that concrete and pavement and those tenements of New York City and that ghetto of Harlem, New York, to be standing in Austin, Texas, Maynard, Texas, in front of a bunch of people that know nothing about me? How does that happen? How do you get to a place in your life where nobody wants to see you coming to where everybody loves to see you coming? How do you get there? I'm talking about real dope fiends. You real guys. Everybody in here ain't a real one. But we got some real ones in here, and your life is on the line. Your life is on the line. You might not make it back here for a second shot. I ran into a guy. He said, "Oh, I'm back again." And he said, "Now I'm working here," or something, he said. And I said, "Oh, you made it back. It ain't guaranteed." We don't think like that, though. We don't live our lives like that. We live aligned with the idea that I am God. I am infallible. I can overcome anything. And it's a lie and it's a delusion. Something has been gracing your life. It might be time to wake up. You might not get another shot. Now, I'm going to need you to travel with me, because I'm not only going to talk to dope fiends and alcoholics. I'm talking to somebody in here tonight, and you think you straight. You think you all right. You think you got it all together. Ain't nothing wrong with you. Something's wrong with them. And as long as something is wrong with them, you are in trouble. So, triumph of spirit. Last time I was here, I talked about Dark Night of the Soul, and I was moving through a transition in my life that I knew very little about. Today, I've moved through Dark Night of the Soul, and I knew exactly what that was about. It was my entrance way into spirit world. It was my entrance way into seeing how God truly would have me be. And why I've been kept alive all these years through all the stuff that I've been brought through. Because I was brought through it. I didn't have nothing to do with it. And that the anointing that was put on my life and on my spirit from a very young age, that it began to flourish and grow and blossom to have purpose in this world. True purpose, real purpose. Faith in something. But I had to move through all I had to move through to see that I had the capacity to have faith. Because you get to a second step and it's like, oh, I can't believe in God. I'm not willing to have faith in that. But you don't see, you've had a faith in a God all your life, some kind of God. Every time you turn to it in a knowingness that it would work. If you didn't have faith in it that it would work, you wouldn't turn to it. So spirit world living has become very much alive in my life in the last year or so, as a result of moving through Dark Night of the Soul. Talked about it a little bit last year. I was wondering, God, where you at, man? I'm 25 years clean. Where you at, man? Why is my life still the way it is? Why is there still financial insecurity? Why can't I get in a relationship and it be healthy, wholesome, and worthful? Why can't I do all the things that you've asked me to do, like love my neighbor as myself? Judge lest ye be judged. I have a desire to do that, Father, but why can't I do that? And I found out why. I found out there was a guy that's lived in me all through my life from a very young age, and I cultivated him. And he ain't never dying. His name is Mr. on 12th Street. He's got an agenda and he's got a job. And his agenda and his job is to kill me. And he's not going to let up. In some shape, form, or fashion, he's going to continue to show up for the rest of my life. The only defense I have is a power greater than myself. And aligning myself with that power and then letting that power fight my battle. Not me. But there's a lot of stuff that happens along the way that I must acclimate to and begin to live along those lines. And I read something in the big book, and I'm finishing a piece of work with my current sponsor. I talked to Sam a little bit last night, and after Mark died, it was hell and high water finding a sponsor. I'm spoiled. I don't know if you're in my lineage or not, but coming out of my lineage, we were spoiled. The majority of people in the rooms don't do the work and don't do recovery the way we do. I don't know if Joe is here tonight. Joe said something to me when I was living down here. He talked about mad dogs. And he don't know that he planted a seed in me. Somebody in here tonight, you're a mad dog. You're a mad dog just like me. You go to any lengths to manage and control your life. Not just with drugs and alcohol. Anything. Anything it takes for you to stay in charge and stay in control, you will do it. No holds barred. Mad dogs. Women mad dogs too. Mad doggettes or doggies or something. anything. There's a club for us, man. There's a club in the club. We don't form relationships without expecting something in return. We don't give unless we gonna get something. The Mad Dog Club. It's all about me. You have no say-so in it. So here we go. You either jump on board or I don't want nothing to do with you. That's the club I'm in. And I kind of think I came to talk to that person tonight, this Mad Dog person, that you've been hanging out with us for a while. God has graced your life with some stuff. One more time, you've gotten to a place where you've been able to stop and stay stopped. And you still fiddle-faddling with your life. Because you're an umtinker. This is a way of life for you. In and out of treatment programs is a way of life for you. Your parents got it so they can do it, so you do it. You're a mad dog. You care nothing about nobody or nothing but yourself. Something's got to change. If you're in benchmark recovery, something's wrong. If you're in the rooms of Cocaine Anonymous or Alcoholics Anonymous or Narcotics Anonymous, something is wrong. What they say in the street, you better stand up and recognize. It might be your last shot to take a look. Too many as I've walked this path in these rooms and in my street life have I seen meet their demise as a result of this disease that's so cunning, powerful, and baffling. You will be totally twisted and you won't even know that you're twisted. You'll be upside down and you'll think you're straight side up. And argue anybody down that tells you that you kind of twisted, man. You will argue them to the ground that you're all right. We got a guy here and we got a girl here that the only thing that's going to help you is a power greater than yourself. That's it. Ain't no middle of the road solutions for you. Ain't no band-aids for you. Ain't no sometime you watered down stuff for you. You need something with some oomph to it. You need something that can withstand any storm that comes because the storm is going to keep coming. They ain't going to back up off of you. Your disease has an agenda. Its disease is to get you back doing what you do. But first you need to come to a place to know that there's something that you do. That's what First Step is about. First Step is about a realization that there's something that I do no matter what. I hate that cliche. I hate it. Because they spew it out in meetings, man, and they don't back it up with, that ain't the real guy. The real guy gets loaded and he drinks no matter what. The alcoholic and the addict drinks and gets loaded no matter what. And you know what? If something don't happen, you're going to do it again. So I'm glad to be here. I've been around long enough. God has spared me long enough to know that in here somebody's just like me. I've done enough work that I can spot you. Spirit has touched me internally enough to know that I can link up in your spirit and see if it's centered and focused. Or are you just a sham? We got them all in the rooms. But thank God I had some spiritual guides and some teachers in my life that God anointed, man, and they gave me a message with some depth and weight, and they passed some stuff on to me that gave me a foundation that has helped me to stand for 26 years. I just celebrated 26 years. I'm a recovered heroin addict. I have not, and I didn't mean a poop butt heroin addict. New York don't put out poop butt heroin addicts. I shot dope for real. To when I got here, every vein in my body I had used with no holes barred. God put some angels in my life, man, that was armed with some facts about themselves that were able to sit down and tolerate me and love me until I could love myself. See, I'm an unlovable guy. I'm an unlovable guy. Why? Because I love me too much. You ain't no space in my life for you. It's all about me. And God put some guys in my life, man, and a woman, I got a female sponsor, in my life, man, that has loved me unconditionally. One of the very things that's wrong with our 12-step fellowships is the very things that bring us to recovery are the very things that we castrate each other about. We rip them apart because they're into the behaviors that got them here. Being a womanizer, being a manizer, being a hoe, being a thief, being a liar, being dishonest, being manipulative. The very things that we've used all our lives to survive out here that finally got us here are the very things that we tear each other apart in an effort to make ourselves something. Knowing that we're only a speck of sand on the beach. I'm really not all that. But for some reason, I want to be somebody in the nut house. This is the nut house, y'all. If they didn't tell you, I'm telling you. This is the insane asylum. But what's happened is that God has put some psychiatrists and some therapists and some doctors in here with you guys. And not along the lines of that per se, but he's put healers in this room. He's given us some of us the ability and the power to touch an inner part of you that nothing could get to but drugs and alcohol. And he's allowed us to not literally lay hands on you, but he's allowed us to lay hands on you. And some of you have, I'm tickled, man, when I see, we did something right, Marsha. We did something right, Mark. To see Jack still here, and see Lane still here, and see my man here, and all the women that were in the women's program, to see you guys that are still on the path. That's where my heart is. To see that you didn't give up, because it's easier to give up than to hold on. It's easier to revert back to what you think you know as a result of stepping, as opposed to stepping out into the void and being willing to believe God will meet you there. It's much easier to do that. At least you know what's going to happen if you go back. Oh, I might get beat up a little bit. No, you might die. My brother did. He went uptown that Friday afternoon. He didn't go uptown because he had a habit, and he went uptown to hang out. He loved heroin and cocaine like I do. I love heroin and cocaine. You know how you be in a bad relationship and you know you're in a bad relationship, but you just can't get out of it. You do everything to get out of it and you can't. She's beating you up your upside. He's punching you in the eye and everything. You know you ain't supposed to be in it, but you love him. He loved me. And he's putting knots upside your head and stretching you out and sending you to the hospital. And you go back every time looking for the way it used to be. In a delusion that it might not ever be that way again. especially if you've had numerous experiences with it. Edward just went uptown to do a little speedball, man. Just hang out for an afternoon. Took the afternoon off from work. Had a good job. Good family living out in Brooklyn. Just went up and went up to the block, around the block we grew up on, just to hang out. He didn't know he was going to get what he was looking for. See, I don't know if you like me, but I've been looking for death all my life. I play Russian roulette with my life, all my life. Every time I stuck a spike in my neck or in my pinky or in my leg or whatever, I was inviting death into my life. I didn't know it. I know it now. Somebody's a mad dog. You go to Annie Lemps. I ain't just talking to alcoholics and addicts either. I'm talking to control freaks out there. You got to be in control, and if you ain't, oh my God, woe for the person that's in your way. You ain't never drank and you ain't never used a day in your life, but you got the disease. You got a spiritual malady. Your spirit is not sick. You're just separated from the Spirit of God that dwells deep down within you. And until you hook back up with that Spirit of God, you will continue to be in chaos and darkness and confusion. The only difference with us is that we use drugs or we use alcohol. You use something else. Somebody out there, you're a sex addict. Been there, done that. Somebody said to me the other night when I got here, they said, yeah, we was waiting to see who you brought down here with you this year. I'm not afraid for you to see me, man. Mark used to tell me, how free do you want to be? Be transparent. After you put you out there, it's what they do with you. Ain't it's you do what you want to do with me. I'm me. I ain't bring nobody this year. Cause ain't nobody in the stable. There's been a transition over the last year where that's become unacceptable. See, it's about evolution, and it's about movement, and it's about growth. But until you have the experience, you don't know no better. That's what this program is about. In the experience, God keeps you. And you begin to recognize that He is, or she is, or it is, or whatever you want to call it. And you become willing to align your life with that. Because you know that's so much better than the way you've lived. Why you? They say, why are you still here, Mike, 26 years later? Because I'm crazy. I'm still crazy at certain times. I ain't quite as crazy as I used to be. But I still have my moments. He ain't finished with me yet. If he's finished with you, God bless you. If you all that spiritual and you floating on clouds and stuff, God bless you. I don't want to float on no cloud. I want to live life and enjoy life and be happy and be peaceful. But one of the main things I'd like to do is I want to read you something out of the 12 and 12. And it's in step 4. And I'm just about finished this piece of work with Carter, who's my sponsor. It's got like 38 years, but this piece of work I did with him over the last year and a half has revolutionized my life. And I can remember when I was in step 4, he had me read step 4 in the 12 and 12. And this piece here stuck out to me on page 53. It says, but it is from our twisted relations with family, friends, and society at large that many of us have suffered the most. We have been especially stupid and stubborn about them. The primary fact that we fail to recognize is our total inability to form a true partnership with another human being. Our egomania digs two disastrous pitfalls. Either we insist upon dominating the people we know, or we depend upon them far too much. If we lean too heavily on people, they will sooner or later fail us, for they are human too, and cannot possibly meet our incessant demands. In this way, our insecurities, here you go, addicts and alcoholics, insecurity grows and festers, and normies, when we habitually try to manipulate others to our own willful desires, they revolt and resist us heavily. Then we develop hurt feelings, a sense of persecution, and a desire to retaliate. As we redouble our efforts at control and continue to fail, our suffering becomes acute and constant. We have not once sought to be one in a family, to be a friend among friends, to be a worker among workers, to be a useful member of society. Always, we try to struggle to the top of the heap or to hide underneath it. This self-centered behavior blocked our partnership relations with any one of those about us. Of true brotherhood, we had little and small comprehension. The Mad Dog. We don't form relationships. The world centers around me. Everything that goes on in my world is about me. You have no say-so in it. And you must align yourself to the way I know you should be. Not how I think you should be, how I know you should be. Joe had something called Theater of the Lie that he used to do, that he had slots that you stick people in little slots, man. And when you stick them in there, they got a little agenda that goes with them. And they can't not do that agenda. But the trouble with that is, they never seem to stay in their little slot. So here comes resentment, here comes anger, here comes insecurity, here comes fear, here comes disappointment, here comes loneliness, here comes sorrow, here comes pain, here comes misery. Here comes all the stuff that affects the nature of what I truly suffer from, is my spirit, the malady in my spirit, being separated from it. Can I afford for that to happen? Being who I am, I can't afford for that to happen. So something has got to happen for the alcoholic and the addict, the real guy. Not the poopy, the real guy. The Mad Dog guy. The guy, no matter what, you go to any length for your drugs and alcohol and have control over your life. No drugs and alcohol in your body whatsoever, you still lie, you still manipulate, you still con, you still scheme. You still underhanded. You still Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. You still putting on a show for the world. You're not transparent. I don't really know you. See, if I really know you, you'll be who you are 100, 24/7. If I'm really your friend, you're going to accept me no matter what. You're not going to judge me. Those are the kind of people I need in my life. So what happens is that God gives you the ability to separate. He gives you the ability to see. 10th step talks about entering the world of the spirit. They don't talk about it in meetings. And they don't talk about it because the majority of people never get to it. They never get to spirit world. Once they get to 10, they never explore what spirit world is about. God's world is an awesome world. God's world is a world that they've been talking about for centuries. didn't just start with us, didn't just start in Alcoholics Anonymous and Cocaine Anonymous and Narcotics and Narcotics Anonymous. Any NA people in here? Before I get started on NA, no good. Didn't just start talking about it there. They've been talking about this deal we talk about for centuries. Aligning yourself with a power. Having access to that power. Turning your life and your will over to that power because your humanness is not sufficient to do what needs to be done in your life internally. When nobody's around, how you doing on the inside, Mike? Somebody walk up to you and say, "Hey, how you doing, Mike?" "I'm fine." Are you really fine, or are you just putting on a show? Can you really say to them, "Hey, how you doing, Mike? I'm not doing that well today." Are you free enough to really share who you are with them? Are you really free enough to be who you are no matter what? In a knowingness that when somebody judges you, it's not you that they're judging, they're actually judging themselves. Because we're only mirrors of each other. There's something that has to happen once you get to us. What has to happen for the individual that gets to us, man, you need to do this long enough until you get to see what's written between the lines in here. There's stuff between the lines in here that's not talked about. They want to tell you 10 step is a maintenance step. If I could maintain anything, Lane, I wouldn't be here. I can't maintain shit. Excuse me, kid. That's why I'm still here. 10th step shows you how to live in God's world. The world of the Spirit. There's another place that says those who worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. We have tools and we have roadmaps to a life that is happy, joyous, and free. The deal is, do you really want it? I mean, do you really want it? Really? You can say it. Scott tickled me. I saw Scott at a meeting last night, and it's so good to see him, man. So good to see him. And I said something to him, and he said, "Yeah, I carry you with me everywhere." And on the side of his big book, he said, "I even got what you told me. When you walk, think about your feet." When you're into doing your everyday stuff, are you into doing that or are you just doing that with another agenda? Is it really about what you're in that moment? Are you talking one thing and walking another way? Because sooner or later that's going to play out. You know that, right? Sooner or later somebody's going to peep your whole card. You know this ain't really about you and your sponsor, you and your counselor. You do know that, right? That they're just tools that God is using to hopefully get you to recognize. This real guy, this mad dog guy, it's about you hooking up with some real stuff, man. What begins to happen? What begins to happen is that you begin to treat your neighbor as yourself. That's what begins to happen. You begin to have some empathy and some sympathy for other people, and you're not so hard and callous. You become a giver as opposed to a taker. You give the shirt off of your back. You'll put you on the side to make sure somebody else is all right. You'll give the homeless man or the homeless woman a dollar every now and then. Not all the time, because I don't give it to them all the time. But I begin to live from the inside out, because there's time when spirits say, "Give it to them." What I'm trying to say is you begin to listen. Because there's an inner voice that's tried to guide me all my life. That thing I used to say, something told me, I know what that something is now. They tried to tell me that in that little church I grew up in. They tried to tell me who something was. Something is somebody bigger than you and I. I didn't listen. Because I put on the God suit. I am so grateful to be alive. The simplicity of my recovery today is just that simple. Simple. I come down here, man, and it's a room full of people to hear me say what? I don't know. When I get up here, I don't know what I'm going to say. You might hear anything that comes out of my mouth. But I know I must be honest, truthful, and forthwith with you. In an effort that somebody might identify with me and say, I'm just like that dude. And if it happened for him, it can happen for me. He ain't no better than me. I'm a mad dog just like he is. I don't want what I had before. I want something different. An internal deal, not an out external deal, an internal deal. I want my heart and my spirit to be changed. That's really what I wanted to do when I started shooting dope. I wanted my heart and my spirit to be changed because I couldn't live out here with you guys no more. Thank God he began to do for me what I could not do for myself. We have a process. We have a way of living here. The language in the book is very precise and direct. But it's just that, it's language. What needs to happen is that an individual needs to begin to have their experience with the language. And stay with the experience, don't run from it. All you mothers and fathers out there and relatives and whatever, they relapse because they want to relapse. They drink and they use again because they want to drink and they want to use again. Cut them loose. Let them have the experience. One or two things will happen. And you might not like me for saying it, but I gotta say it. They'll either live or they'll die. But it will be perpetuated and brought on by them, not you. But this is a disease that's about killing, if you got it. This is a disease about taking you out. This is a disease that even though you sit here with us and you ain't used no drugs and alcohol whatsoever, you can be crazy as a Betsy bug. Insane, twisted, sitting here looking at us with a smile on your face and miserable. What kind of life is that? What kind of way is that to live life? Finally, I got to a place, man, where I woke up and I had a desire to stay awake. That's all it took was a desire. And something happened. This power that we talk about in these rooms, it's not for everybody. Everybody don't have to do it the way we do it. But you might want to take a look at it and see if maybe you do. To abandon yourself to a power greater than yourself. To give up the fight, man. Give it up. They told Jackie Robinson, they said, we just don't want you to fight, man. Don't fight. Just stand. And that's all we ask you to do. Just stand. Stop fighting. You ain't gonna win. You're not gonna win. A useless fight. See what's in the plan for you. Relatives and friends and family members. Start doing something for yourself. Start getting help for yourself. Start getting quality for your life. Start wearing a smile on your face. Start being a husband to your wife and a wife to your husband. Nurture that relationship. Be an example of dependence on a power greater than yourself, as opposed to a dependence on your son or daughter getting better. Let them go. God's got them. He's got them. He kept me. He kept me. I am astounded at my life. I'm amazed at my life, man. I'm a dope fiend. Where I come from, they call them junkies. I'm a junkie from the bowels of Harlem, New York. God saw fit to smile on me. Why shouldn't He smile on you? If you want to live, we got a way for you to live here. If you want to smile again, we got a way for you to smile again. If you want to love again, we got a way for you to love again. If you want a family, we got a way for you to get your family back. But it begins and it ends with you. I want to thank Mark Houston. I thought I came to Texas just to spend time with Mark. Really, I had Mark with my sponsor, and we had a long distance sponsorship. I had been knowing Mark for years through Joe Hawk, who was my grand sponsor. A gentleman that worked with him initially was my Eskimo, and then Joe became my sponsor, and I met Mark, and Joe died, and I needed a sponsor, and me and Mark hooked up, and I thought I was coming to Texas to hang out with Mark on a one-on-one. That wasn't why I was brought to Texas. I was brought to Texas to show me what they told me about you guys in Harlem. They lied. Be careful who you sit next to. Be careful who you listen to. You all have an inner spirit that dwells deep down within you. Learn how to access it and talk to it and powwow with it and communicate with it. Because people are going to lie to you. They're not going to have your best intentions at hand. Real alcoholic, real addict, get aligned with what this program is truly about. I'm not quite as opinionated as I used to be. Bobby B will tell you that. He'll tell you. I used to walk around with a sword and a shield and a crash helmet because I was always stirring up stuff. If you wasn't in the process and you wasn't doing the work, you are going to hell. Today, it's up to you, man. It's up to you what you do. Whatever you do, I'm going to support you in it. I don't judge. You in relationships? Get in 2-3 of them. You're a workaholic? Work yourself to death. But stay awake, because He's coming. That's my one piece of truth that I keep with me. Heron's coming. He might take a siesta and he might back up and I might be able to live happy, joyous, and free, but you bet your bottom dollar He's coming, man. And the longer I stay clean, the more of a vengeance He has for me. Because my mission is to slay him. Somebody's dying. You didn't just make it to us either. You've been around us for a while. And you're dying. You in here tonight. I'd love it if you came up to me after and said, yeah, you was talking to me. My ego likes that shit. I ain't completely cured. I ain't all that goddamn spiritual. But what it does is that it lets me know that my life is not in vain. It lets me know that what I've been awakened to as to why I'm still alive after 63 years is truth and fact. That God kept me alive to help somebody. Because by all rights, I should be dead, man. I don't know if you like me. I'm a dope fiend. I'm a junkie. I robbed my mama. I set my brother up. Contracts on my life. Geographics. Go down the list. I'll give it to you. I probably did it. And I stand here tonight a free man. I go anywhere in the world and I'm not afraid to go. They don't go in certain parts of town because they might do. My spawning ground in recovery was South Central Los Angeles. You don't go over there because it's Crips and Bloods. And that. Man, if it's my time to go, it's my time to go. That's it. Come on with it. I got a life beyond. Somebody wants it. We got a path. We got a process of recovery. We got some qualified sponsors. Everybody ain't qualified to be a sponsor. You can tell them I said it. They not armed with some facts about themselves. They can't guide themselves. They're just vessels for God to use. That's all we are. We are not God. My sponsees come to me and, Mike, what? Did you ask God? No, you didn't? Well, you need to go ask God, then you come back and talk to me. That's where the power is. Get aligned with the power. But first find out if you need to get aligned with the power. If you need a power greater than yourself. And how bad it must be. I hope he ain't in here, B. But last night we were sitting in a meeting and somebody said his God, he had a friend, a sponsee, and his God was a rock. And that was his God, a rock. And I looked at B. I said, you want a rock, B? I don't want no rock for no God. A goddamn bulldozer might come along and crush it. I want something that's all powerful. I'm sorry, somebody don't like this, man. The group cannot be my high power. You might be here tonight, and I come back here next Saturday, and ain't nobody here. My high power's gone. That's not what was passed on to me. I got a God that dwells deep down within me. He's always been there. From the moment I was conceived and the breath of life was blown into me, God dwelled deep down within me. And he's never left me. And for somebody in here tonight, he's doing the same thing. He's allowing you to breathe. Just breathe. Smell the roses along the side of the road. I love Austin, Texas. Don't know if I ever live here again, but I love Austin, Texas, because what I thought I'd find here, I did not find. I found love. I found family. And I found a semblance of peace. Thanks for listening.
Man, Lane said it, man. That was a real treat. Thank you for coming out, man. Let's give him another round of applause.
Thank you, T.
too happy. I'm coming to do a group for you on Monday.
Oh, man. I've asked my friend Jordan to read the 10-step promises, page 84 of the big book.